And I want to thank Reverend Givens for opening up in our devotion and Brother Joe for the music this morning. Let us look at one verse of scripture, and we're going to read this together. Psalm 119 and verse number 25. We're going to read it together. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. Amen. You may be seated. While you're being seated, look at somebody and just ask them, do you have soul security? Y'all didn't say it like you were excited. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have of you breathing into our lives the word of truth. And God, we realize that it's not something that we just hear with the ears. It enters into our life and it brings power. It brings hope. It brings joy. Fill us today with your mighty word that we might go forth and carry out the things that you would have us to do. Lord, it's daytime as Deacon Knight was praying and you sent the sun that it would shine over us. Let the sun of God and the mercy of God shine over us that we can live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're into the section now in the psalm, as we shared with you, that it corresponds with the Hebrew alphabet. And while we're not here necessarily to learn our ABCs, we are here to learn what God has said to us and what he intends for us to do. So often we dwell in the state of uncertainty. We don't know what's next. We always find ourselves in some type of problem or dealing with some type of issue. The alphabet today is Daleth. That's the fourth Hebrew alphabet. And we're going to deal with that in a way that it describes those that are crying out to God. Now, what is the cry? What is the plea? What is it that God is going to do in our lives? Why do we need him? This enters into this thing of why we pray. You know, why do you pray? Do you pray to get things? Or do you pray that God would do something amazing in your life? That his grace would come alive in your life? Now, today we're going to introduce you into a reading or into a reason for us praying, and that is life threats. Life threats. So what I want you to do before we begin this message, I want you to think about or to write down on a piece of paper, write down the threats that you're facing right now. Write down those threats. And as you do so, I want you to think about not how you're going to deal with them, but I want you to think about how God, this Almighty God, is going to tabernacle with you and say, okay, let's work through this together. Let's address this issue and let's address this need. We live in a world now that we have of constant threats. I was reading the other day that there are swarms of locusts in Africa. And we say that's a threat. Yes, it is, because they could lose all of their vegetation. And it's not just one nation, it's several African nations that are now being swarmed with these locusts. I also read where there's this, what they call the doomsday iceberg, and it's melting, which says if that one melts, we're in real trouble. Now, whether or not these things would end in chaos, whether or not the outcome will be that the world would be destroyed, we don't know. But one thing we do know is that God is in absolute control. Absolutely. The question is not whether you're going to have to deal with threats. The question is, what is going to be your foundation? How will you stand when the ground that you're standing on is shaking? How do you deal with these life threats? The psalmist is worshiping and praising God because not only is he acknowledging, I've got a threat, he said, my soul cleaves unto the dust. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation that it brought you so low? It took you to a place that you did not want to go. Your soul was sinking. Another expression would be you're being buried alive. Life is now burying you. You've fallen into the situation and you're asking the question, how am I going to get out of this? But he didn't ask that question. He said, my soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me. Now you got to know something about God when you pray that kind of prayer. You've got to know that God can bring you out of situations. Not only are you looking back, but you are looking at what God has said. God has said, my word is powerful. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that everything that exists, God didn't just sit down and get into a rigorous construction project. God spoke. And we read it in the King James, let there be. He didn't say, let there be light. He just said, light. And it was on. God spoke. And now the psalmist is making this personal. He's saying, God, you speak to me. Several Sundays we've shared with you how life speaks to you. And it does cause you to question whether or not you're going to survive. Life shouts at you, you're going to lose this one. Life will scream at you, this one's going to take you out. But do you not know that the Lord is your shepherd? Do you not realize that he is the light of your life? Of whom should you be afraid? We're dealing with situations that we've never had to deal with before. We're trying to work our way through situations that we've never had to look at before. Those things are confronting us. And now we ask the question, what shall we do? Well, there are several things. Before we get to that, I want to ask, and this, I guess, question that we probably have already addressed, what is the soul? What is your soul? Now, the first reference to this we have in the book of Genesis, of course, because in the making of man, God describes who man is. Now, you dwell in a body that's called the flesh. It's also a reference to our lower self or our base self when we live in the flesh. In other words, we have the appetites of our body that kind of dictates what we need to do. So we know we've got a body. We also know that we've got this thing called a soul. And then the third element would be the spirit. Now, in the soulless realm, where did it come from? The Bible says, Genesis 2 and verse 7, God breathed into his nostril, and he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, look at this, the breath of life. The breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. The ruach. The breath of God. God breathed into you. So you've got something very precious. Don't take it lightly. You got this amazing thing called a soul. It didn't come from man, so therefore man shall not murder because you're taking away the breath. Now watch this. When you expire, you breathe out. But when you inspire, you breathe in. Some of you, life has hit you. It has struck you and it's left you breathless. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me. Now, how do you pray that God would come into your soul and give you something? Because when you know that your breath, when you know that this day came from God and that God has authorized you to be alive today, by the way, he authorized for you to be here. He authorized for you to breathe this morning. Maybe your heart was going through something. God said, no, heart, you're going to breathe. That's why when Jesus came and he worked miracles, he would touch those things and he would say, that's not the way my Father made it. My Father made eyes to see, legs to walk. My Father made minds to think. God didn't make these things to be broken down by life, and neither did he make you to be destroyed by your circumstances. So the soul, short answer, it's the breath of God. God breathed that into us and now we are alive. Take a breath. Take a breath. Wasn't that good? I know some of you say, well, I don't know. I'm kind of sighing. By the end of the sermon, you're going to get it together. Because you got this thing called soul security. Let me just tell you, I was thinking about it and I was asking the Lord, I know that we are in Psalm 119, and so I was asking God, Lord, give me a message that can speak to the hearts of the people that they can relate to and remember. And I was over the kitchen sink. I kind of, my habit is washing dishes. I got this thing. I don't like dishes in the sink, so, you know, I wash them myself. Anyway, I'm washing dishes. And my wife said, well, I cook. You ought to wash. Okay. So anyway, I'm washing dishes and God speaks this little word, soul security. And I had just gone through this ordeal of trying to get stuff straight with social security. Don't confuse the two. One, you don't know. And by the way, I'm still trying to figure out what in the world is a donut hole. You younger people, you don't know. So anyway, let's move on. Page two. So when he said that, I thought about the fact there are no premiums, but there are amazing benefits when it comes to soul security. The God that breathed life into you and into me, this same God secures that soul and he says, it's mine. It belongs to me. When we discover that the soul belongs to God, then we can rightfully call to him and say, Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you breathe into my life? Would you get me through this situation for your glory and for your honor? My soul cleaves to the dust. The psalmist would often say, which raises a second question, why does the soul suffer? Why do we have these things called emotions? And ladies, you probably heard men say, I just turn my emotions off. They're lying. You don't turn them off. You can just hide them for a little bit, but they show up. They show up. Why do we have these feelings? Why can't we just say, well, we're animals and we just respond to life? No, God breathed into you and he gave some parts of himself now into you, and that is feelings. Emotions. God loves. God can hate. God can get angry. God's soul can be comforted, as in the fact that if something is right, then his soul is comforted. Jesus did not give us this form of God as some mechanical being in somewhere in outer space and he has no feelings. He said, I want you to call him Father. He's a God of mercy. As a matter of fact, he said his mercy endures forever. So our soul really has something to do with God when God breathed into us the breath of life. The fact that we find out that we've got the soul, our soul can be threatened by sin, by sorrow when you lose loved ones or have a devastation in your life, by selfishness, by anger, agony, even when you show animosity or hatred towards someone else. That's all in that soulless realm. It's all in that soulless realm. The problem that we have is that our soul, in and of itself, our emotions in and of itself, uncontrolled, can destroy us. As much as a person can be impacted by physical things that happen, broken leg, broken limb, or physical organ in your body being impacted, your soul can be destroyed. And in that condition, that's where the psalmist finds himself. Some of you maybe can relate to this because you're going through a condition right now and you're shaking your head. How many times do you get up in the morning and you're sighing already? This is another day. This is another long journey to sunset that I've got to endure this. I've got to go through this. So you swallow deep and you try to get up and you try to find the energy to move on. But what if you could pray a prayer? What if you could just look toward heaven and say, Father, get me out of the dust. Raise me up so that I might see wondrous things out of your word. When you get into that realm of where you're now in touch with God, where you point your finger at your problem and say, Lord, this is what's trying to bury me. This is the thing that's throwing dirt on me, and I'm feeling it. And what I need you to do is just breathe on me. Thankfully, through Christ Jesus our Lord, he's given us the, not only right, but he's given us the power to where now we can call on God as our Father. And we can say, Father, I thank you. Help me with this circumstance. And the next thing you know, divine energy, the power of the Holy Spirit enters into your life. And what you thought you could not do, what you thought you could not stand, now you can stand boldly and proclaim that God is good and his mercy endures forever. There are a lot of people going through depression. Again, that's another reference for being out of breath. What you had, you don't have it anymore. Now you're just dragging through life. And it's hard, ladies and gentlemen, when you're taking the problems of yesterday and with all of your strength, you're trying to get into another day and then smile. How do you smile when your heart is broken? How do you smile? How do you laugh when really you're just trying to get through? You can do it because of the grace of God. Let's work our way through this. Sometimes when we ask these questions, we are often dealing with a broken heart or sadness, and we're saying, soul, look at this. Now, this is an interesting verse from the psalmist. He says in Psalm 42 and verse 5 and also 43 and 5, he said, soul. Now, who's talking? Who's talking? His spirit. His spirit is now saying to his soulless realm, why are you cast down? Now, that means you've got this part of God in you called the Spirit of God, that you have been born of God and now you're his child. So now you're talking not to yourself. I know sometimes you do that when you, what in the world do I do? That's you. But when you are now connecting with your soul and you're saying to the soul, wait a minute, God did not create you for failure. God did not create you so that the enemies would overwhelm you. God created you for life. Amen. The Greeks would often try to describe this in a word called Zoe. And they would say that you have the life of the God. And so they would have somebody called Hercules. You ain't Hercules, but you are a child of God. You're the one that God has called into this life. The Bible says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined into the darkness. That's what God does when you're in those depressing moments. He comes in to give you life. He comes in to breathe on you and said, wait a minute, I haven't let you go yet. And this life or this problem that you're facing is not your defeat. So you can talk to your soul and say, wait a minute. How many times have you said, I got to get it together? You're talking to your soul. How many times have you said, I ain't taking this forever. I'm gonna get, you know, you kind of dust yourself off and you start standing up. That's why you come to church. Because life, for whatever reason, wants to dump a lot of dirt. And you tell, look, I ain't dead yet. Don't throw dirt on me until I'm gone. And when you're gone, all you got is a body to bury. You're not burying my identity. You're not burying my soul. So you pray that prayer. You're bold enough. And may I just walk you through this? When you come in on Sunday morning knowing the stuff that you had to drag through and you had to get through, when you come in on Sunday morning, just look up and say, God, thank you. You know, it was rough, but I made it. It was hard, but I made it. Thank God I can breathe in the life. Now, where is he getting this power from? Is he just positive thinking? I tried that once. And every time you think positively, another negative shows up. Did you not know that in the atom, that a positive is surrounded by two negatives? Yikes. But when you are in Christ, he conquers all those things. Were it not for the goodness of God, the psalmist prayed in one place, he said, Lord, I thank you that I believed in you to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. So when you look to God and you say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've spoken into my life. I want to deal with three things as we prepare to close. First one is where we look to God's word, our soul security. We look to God's word to help us through the death threats, through the things that could very well take our life. What I call the death threats. You have soul security. This is your coverage. Something happens to your house, you pull out your homeowner's policy. HR something, whatever it is. And when something happens to your car, you pull out your certificate of insurance and say, yeah, I'm insured. When you get into a life problem, you pull out your soul security, which is the word of God. And you start saying to that problem, wait a minute, the Lord has me in his hands. My soul cleaves unto dust. Quicken me according to your word. God made everything on this planet. He made everything in the universe. So if there's anything that goes wrong in his realm, which is everywhere at all times, you have the right as a child of God to say, Father, I want to file a claim. My life is being threatened by these circumstances. Quicken me. Revive me. Bring me back to life. Let me breathe in. Some of you are in circumstances now and you think, well, I got to do this. No, you stay on board. But get out of the driver's seat because you're zagging and you're zigging and you don't know what God has planned for you. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not evil, and to bring you to an expected end. Rely on God's word. Job had to do it. When Job was facing his problems, he understood that no one could get him through except God. And he cried out to God when the Lord, he said, now where is God? And then God showed up and said, Job, here I am. You've been complaining, but let me just show you who I am and why I'm God and why you're not God. You're a good man, but you're not God. Hezekiah in the Bible, it says that the enemies had destroyed nations and the Assyrians were going throughout all of that kingdom and going now through what they call the Fertile Crescent, and the king of Assyria saying, we conquered all these nations. And so Hezekiah was saying, we're going to trust in God. And Isaiah wrote to encourage them in the way of the Lord. But then the king of Assyria surrounded Jerusalem in this thing called a siege. No one could get into the city. No one could get out. And so under this siege, the king of Assyria said, we've conquered every other god. What makes your God so different that we're not going to conquer you? Hezekiah did not argue about the problem. He didn't get out there and point his finger at the king of Assyria and say, you don't know. He took the message, laid it out before God, and said, God, this is what they're saying about you. And they had an army, nearly 200,000. That army had surrounded them, and the king was boasting, and Hezekiah had spread the note out. And that night, they had about 200,000. There are millions of angels. And in that night, God dispatched just one angel. I don't know whether it was a teraphim or a seraphim. I don't know what it was. One angel. And that one angel in one night destroyed 185,000 of those Assyrians in that army. And he put up his sword. My question was, God, why didn't he destroy all of them? God said, I had to get him to send somebody back to tell the others, don't mess with me. That's an amazing God. Now, if one angel can destroy an entire army, you've got at least two that's with you every day. By the way, don't worry about their names. One name is goodness, and the other name is mercy. And they're going to follow you. I feel like preaching here. They're going to follow you all the days of your life. So all you've got to do is rely on God's strength, and his word will quicken you. Well, the second thing that we go through is this time of sorrow. This time of sorrow. And sorrow can be caused by conditions, or it can be caused by our own reaction to life itself. So you didn't get the job. You didn't get your way. And so now you're sad. Sometimes the sorrow is much deeper. We've lost someone. This past week, we shared in the memorial of Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And I thought to myself, what made that so different? And I think the fact that it represented a family, or at least part of one, touched all of us. You don't know when sorrow is going to ring the doorbell. You don't know when it's going to uninvitedly come into your house and say to you, I'm going to stay a while. But what you can do is to pull out your soul security policy. And you can start quoting to whatever sorrow that is and say, we're going to make it through this. Listen to how he expresses this in the psalm. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me. Now, wait a minute. The first time he was praying, get me out of it. Show me the exit. Revive me. Now he's simply saying, strengthen me. Child of God, pull your ear up here just a second. God is not going to get you out of every situation. You would not get stronger. You would not rely much as much upon him. But what God does, right in the middle of your sorrow, he gives you strength. He gives you strength. One Sunday we had an illustration where we had a little, what do you call that thing where you punch it and it comes right back up? What do you call that? Whatever that bag was, you know, it kind of wobbles around. But the fact is that at the soul of it, it's anchored. And though we might sway from the situations of life, our soul is anchored in God. He says, strengthen me according to your word. Now, when that says according to God's word, he's going to give you all the power you need to face all the situations that you have to face. When you're in the ring of life and life is just punching away at you and God gives you the strength to dodge it, or God gives you the strength to take a punch, you don't get weaker, you get stronger because you're empowered by the word of God. Lester Roloff, an evangelist back in the 70s and 80s, would often say, God's going to do one or two things. Either he's going to get you through it, or he's going to take you out of it. Don't try to deliver yourself. Let God lead you. Then we deal with the last one, and I'm closing. I'm going to my seat. We have protection, not only from death threats and from deep sorrow, but from public shame. Public shame. This one I have to reference Jesus. And in this verse it says, I have stuck to your testimonies. No one else has done that like Jesus. No one else has stood in those times where he's been rebuffed and he's been rebuked and all of these things happened to him. And the psalmist cried out, oh Lord, put me not to shame. It was the desire of the enemies when they nailed Jesus to the cross and when they beat him all night long, when they spat in his face, their desire was not just to inflict pain. They wanted to shame him. To spit in someone's face is to shame them. They hung him on the cross, and he was totally naked. He was a Jew. They were humiliating him. But Jesus did not look at the shame. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, when shame came to him, he despised the shame. I'm not going to give in to that. This is my Father's will. I'm going to do what my Father wants me to do. And though shame would say, hey, Jesus, aren't you ashamed of this? One of the things the devil wants to do is to have you to tuck your head and be ashamed of trying to do right. This evil generation that we're living in, and we as the body of Christ, shame on you because you believe what you believe. Well, I believe that because that's what God said. And that's what God wants. You do not have to be ashamed of being and calling yourself a child of God. And sadly, many times in my own life, I've tucked my head. But no more. No more. I don't have to answer to the devil. And I don't have to answer to shame. Now, how is it that we can do this? Because in his humiliation, in his suffering, Jesus put your name in a place where you could never put it. He exalted your name. As a matter of fact, right now, you have an angel or a representative of you in glory that sits before the throne of God, according to the book of Hebrews. You are represented in heaven. As a matter of fact, anything that you want on this earth, Jesus said, just ask in my name. That's like giving somebody your checkbook and say, okay, just whatever you want, just write it down. If you ask according to his will. When you're in a situation where now life wants to humiliate you, hold your head up high because you've got God's word. If you've stood up for him, guess who's going to stand up for you? The power of God Almighty. Let me just close by telling you, you ought not be ashamed because you got his word. It's covered in the policy that God gave you. While you might not have riches or gold, God keeps you from disgrace because you've got his grace. I worked on that one for a little while. It took me a while. You have so much of God's grace inside of you that you can walk through every circumstance of life and tell the devil, tell the problem, tell the enemy of your soul, God brought me this far and he's going to take me every step of the way. You have his guarantee. You have his guarantee. How many of y'all know that? How many? Let me ask this question before we close. How many of y'all got a good insurance policy? I mean, good insurance. Every time you file a claim, no question. Well, let me tell you something. Every man-made insurance policy has this person called an adjuster. Now, what you want to do is you want to file the full claim, pay me $1 million. That's what you said. And they come in and you settle with this thing after the adjuster said, well, according to what I see, your car was half broke down before it wrecked. So now they're going to adjust your claim from the sticker price down to the worn out price. But Jesus Christ never adjust your claim. You have a right to be the child of God. You have a right to access to heaven. You have a right to the riches of glory. You have a right to God's word. You have a right to walk in the strength of God. You have a right to say, the Lord is my shepherd. You have a right to say, the Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You have the right to walk boldly as a child of God, to lift your hands up to him and say, Lord, thank you. This is the day that you've made. My struggle, my trial did not bring me here. You brought me here, and you'll take me every step of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, I conclude by saying you have soul security. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your awesome power. We don't praise you enough, Lord, because if we knew all of the benefits, and by the way, there's no fine print in the word of God. It's boldly stated. It's boldly stated what God can do and what he will do. Help us to read the policy. Help us to take to heart the mighty blessings of God. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. Going to give the invitation. There might be someone who has never accepted Christ. You never put your trust in him. Today would be a great day. Today would be an awesome day. We invite you to come. The doors of the church are open. Maybe you're seeking membership with us here at Crossroad. We're not all that great, but we serve a great God. And we can offer you that same grace that helps us each day. We can offer that to you. Let's all stand.